The British woman we just mentioned, Shamima Begum, isn't likely to return to the UK at this point. The government there has revoked her British passport. Here's Begum speaking to the BBC this week. She was answering a question about whether she was sorry for those killed by Islamic extremists.
I do feel that it's wrong that innocent people did get killed, like women and children. Just like people, you know, like the women and children in Bagos that are being killed right now, unjustly, by the bombings. It's a two-way thing, really.
Paul Stott researches terrorism and security with the Henry Jackson Society in the UK. He says Begum's words haven't gone down well there.
I think there was real shock and anger at some of the things she was saying, some of the positions she still seemed to be justifying with regards to Islamic State. And what the British Home Secretary has done in stripping her of her British citizenship is something that's now increasingly common in the UK. It's something that's legal. And in this case, probably appears justifiable. You have to remember, commentators like myself haven't necessarily seen all the evidence that's gone across the Home Secretary's desk. So he's taking a decision based on intelligence, and presumably that intelligence is very damaging.
When Shamima Begum asks for the UK to forgive her, is it genuine? I mean, can we trust what she's saying at all?
Well, I'm not particularly sure she has asked for forgiveness. Her comments have been particularly curious, really, because they've been a sort of strange mixture of some criticism of Islamic State, for example, for being corrupt, but also that she seems to have been disappointed in Islamic State, that it didn't meet her high standards. And, you know, it's a bit like listening to somebody who's been very committed to an ideology and who's been slightly let down by others and who doesn't necessarily criticize or reject that ideology.
I wonder, do you get the sense that Shamima Begum thinks that she did anything wrong?
I get the sense most of all that she's disappointed at how things have turned out, but she seems quite happy on a personal level. She's met her husband, a jihadist fighter, through Islamic State. Her regrets seem to be, in a way, around separation from some of her family in the UK and regret that she doesn't have access to welfare provision, the National Health Service, to help her children. So I don't think there's any clear evidence that she realises that she's done some very bad things, and also that she's played a part in other people's oppression. She's gone out to another country and joined an organisation, Islamic State, that was repressing others, has arguably committed genocide against the Yazidis, terrible crimes against Christians in that community. She doesn't seem to have any regrets about that.
Could the counterterrorism and intelligence community make use of someone like Shamima Begum in a way that could help fight the whole effort against ISIS?
I think there's certainly a case for taking individuals back who've provided actionable intelligence and who've clearly changed their minds and who may be of use potentially in counter-radicalization programs. There's no evidence, though, in this case. And indeed, when you listen to her, some of it's a sort of me type argument. And then other parts of it seem to be that she's still committed to Islamist ideology, still committed to the idea of an Islamic State. She's just not totally happy with how Islamic State themselves have delivered on their promise.
Paul Stott researches terrorism and security with the Henry Jackson Society in the United Kingdom. Thanks a lot for speaking with us.
Thank you.